Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker.
Welcome to The Business Bunker Show on Tuesday, December the 4th. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely famous and lovely Jo Dodds.
Hello, you all right?
I'm well, thanks. How are you, Jo?
Yeah, I'm not bad, actually. I did something a bit musical last night.
Did you? What did you do?
Friends of Simon's, of Doddy's, called us up from Belgium to say they were coming to Margate to see Keane. And did we want their spare tickets?
Blimey.
How cool's that?
That was a result.
My first thought was, what did Keane sing?
Who are they?
So I listened to a few songs and thought, oh yeah, they're quite good. And then we went and I tell you, somebody said they're really good live. And I have to say, I only want to get a live album of theirs now because I think their songs are good on the radio and stuff. But Live, they were absolutely amazing. His voice is like so cool.
And where did you see that?
At Margate, at the Winter Gardens.
At the Winter Gardens?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was really weird. It was really like sort of middle-aged. I think I was one of the youngest people there. It was really quite strange.
Yeah.
I felt sorry for Keane. I thought, do they look out and look at their audience and think they're all old people?
Yeah, well, it happens. You know, it happens. You want to go to a latter day punk concert and see all those 50 somethings pogoing.
Yes.
We've reversed Mohicans now because none of us have got any air.
Or stick on ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there we go. So I'm feeling a bit sort of musical today. That's quite cool, isn't it? So how are you?
Yeah, I'm okay, thank you, Jo. Busy.
Have you bought any more businesses lately or done anything dodgy or anything I need to know about?
Done anything dodgy? Well, it's funny you should say no. No, I haven't ever done anything
okay,
dodgy.
Okay, controversial is what I meant to say.
Oh, controversial. No, I always do controversial things.
I know, that's why I was asking.
Yeah, I've had a bit of a spat on the radio again.
Really? What happened?
Yeah, I was on BBC earlier in the week.
Giving it
large about the East Kent Growth Fund.
Right.
And I happened to make a couple of comments that our famous leader of Kent County Council disagreed with. Unfortunately for him, what I said was actually plastered over the front of their website, and he's now busily trying to weasel out of that, having called me a liar on air, but never mind.
Brilliant.
Yeah. But apart from that, nothing controversial at all, no.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, no, so been very busy. And we've got a packed show for you today. We've got loads of emails and all that kind of stuff. We'd like to hear from you, the businesses of Kent, so please do give us a call on 01303 874 998 or tweet me at VanillaWeb and ask for a shout out for your business or your event or if you're a charity or if you've got a special offer. Anything you want to tell us, basically, tweet me and we'll shout it out. Or you can ring, as I say, on 01303 874 998. You can send us an email, but the problem with emails is we've got exactly, and I counted them, 17,842. So if you send another one now, we're not likely to get round to it.
No.
But we will get round to the ones that we've already got.
It feels a bit quiet on Twitter today. Last time I was here, there was tons of stuff and we couldn't keep up, but it feels like it's just us tweeting at the moment. So come on, you lot.
Yeah.
Get on with it.
It is. I've had two tweets already.
We've
normally had about 100 by now. I know, it's really quiet. I don't know why. Do you think everybody's Christmas shopping or something?
I don't know, it could be.
I reckon that's what it is.
I know it's December, but it's not that close to Christmas, is it? At least all the men are probably still at home.
Oh,
or at work.
Did you hear what she said?
And actually, that isn't true in our house. Doddy's a bit of a shopper, so he's quite organised. What about you? Do you do shopping like early?
Well, there isn't anyone else to do it, is there?
Yeah, well, it doesn't mean you're going to do it in an organised manner, does it?
Oh, organised. Oh, you never mentioned organised.
Yeah, before. I mean, it could still be a Christmas Eve job, couldn't it?
Do you know what? Do you know what was invented specifically for me?
When they
were thinking about it, they thought, do you know what will help? What will help the world is if we invent this thing, this internet, just so that Paul can do his Christmas shopping. And I went, yeah, thank you very much. And that's what they did. And I'm sorted now. I do all my Christmas shopping with express delivery.
But you're never in to get the delivery.
I have it delivered somewhere else.
Ah, very good thinking.
Yeah,
I like your
no
style.
No flies on me.
Yeah. Ah, so you've done it all then.
No, because it's 2 weeks to go.
Right, okay then.
Yeah. No panic.
So express delivery on the 21st, that'll be the Friday, won't it?
Friday, exactly. I've got their new Amazon Prime.
So have I. Actually, thinking about it, on Amazon Prime, you can probably still order it on the Friday and it'll deliver it on Christmas Eve, won't it?
Yeah, they will.
Yeah.
What I was hoping was they'd bring it on Christmas Day in a Santa suit and kind of just, you know, hand it out.
Did you hear the story about little Doddsy and Santa?
No.
she was looking at pictures the other day from a couple of years ago, and there was one of her crying when we had Father Christmas turn up. And I was trying to work out why she was crying, and I think Father Christmas, aka Dodsey, had got a bit officious and she got a bit scared. So I was saying to her, "Oh, did he scare you?" And she was having a look at the picture, and then she suddenly went, "Hang on a minute, Daddy, come here!" And she grabbed him and pushed his head sideways and was comparing the picture to him, and she went, "That explains why you're never there when Father Christmas turns up." And we were like, "No, I don't know what you're talking about. Don't know what you're talking about." So this year, Grandad's going to go out when Father Christmas arrives, and we'll see if we get away with it for one more year, but I don't think we will.
So you never went to the normal thing, which is, "No, shh, little Dodsey, that's right, Mum's having an affair with Santa."
No.
Ah, okay. Because that would have worked.
No. But yes, right. There we go. So yes, yeah, so well, I'll report back in the new year to see whether it had the desired effect, but I'm not imagining it will, really, okay, to be honest.
But it's sad when people's things like that broken.
Found
out.
I think it's sweet.
Oh, she's only 33.
I know, exactly. What I like though is the fact that they're at this age, at six, they don't really want to say they don't believe, just in case it is true, because they think they won't get any presents. So she sort of.
The reality is, Jo, she's known since she was three.
But that's she's what Andy Harris you. Of Cusswin said.
She's humouring you. Yeah, she thinks, she goes to school, she, "Do you know, my bloody parents still believe in Santa Claus?" She said, "But I have to go with it, otherwise they won't buy me anything."
Exactly.
So, you know.
Yeah, when I put that on my newsletter, Andy Harris from Cusswin texted me and said, emailed me and said, "Oh, I tweeted little Dodsey," and she said that she's known all along, but she's just humouring you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I wouldn't put it past her, to be honest. So.
Exactly.
I don't know. Shall I do
an email, and I'll start reading some tweets, because we have got a couple more tweets come in,
okay.
I notice.
Good plan. Okay, so we've got the Whitstable Business Tweet up on Thursday the 13th of December, so that must be next week. I'm always so good at my dates, aren't I?
Yep.
What date is it today?
It is the 4th today, Jane.
Okay, so next Thursday, week on Thursday. It's welcome to all Kent business people. It's a free networking event where Twitter users meet up in person, but I believe you don't have to actually be on Twitter to turn up as well. It's the third Thursday of every month, 10 o'clock onwards at the Hotel Continental in Whitstable.
Cool. Talking about next Thursday, the 13th, there's also a Create event then.
Ah, we were talking about that earlier.
It's yeah, 7 p.m. in the evening at Fruitworks in Stour Street in Canterbury.
Mm-hmm.
Full lineup of speakers.
Who's speaking? I don't know who says.
It will come to me in a moment. Paul Burgess,
mm-hmm.
entrepreneur, angel investor. There is someone from the University of Kent, but I'm not sure what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And Emily. The famous Emily.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I told you the story. Back in the summer, I own a company called 10x10 Labs,
mm-hmm.
which is a business incubator and startup. And we had a day where lots of people came and pitched business ideas.
Yes, I remember that, because it was really packed, wasn't it?
It was absolutely packed. And Emily, who is known on Twitter as East Kent Mum, actually did a pitch for her publishing business. But it was the most novel pitch I've ever seen, because while she was standing in front of an audience of 60 business people, she was actually breastfeeding and pitching at the same time.
Oh, dear.
Brilliant.
I used to do things like that.
Yeah. Anyway, she's speaking as well.
And did she get her pitch or whatever?
Yeah. She's got a fantastic business proposition. And the reason that she's speaking at Create is she's now moved it on an awful long way and is ready to launch with it. So she's coming back to tell us all about it and tell us what she's doing. It's, in brief, without paraphrasing her too much, she's worked in publishing for a long time, and she's publishing what I call coffee table books. She might punch me, but they're specially commissioned coffee table books. So, for instance, she's doing some specials, like a book about Canterbury, from a Chaucer's Tales type of angle,
cool.
You know, Tour of Canterbury type of angle, but beautifully produced and illustrated books.
Which now, I guess there probably is a gap in the market,
because
people are going off the books, but they're actually not when it comes to, as you say, coffee table stuff.
Special coffee table stuff really does work. Yeah, no, so that's it. But we're going to hear more when she's at Create on the 13th. So.
Well, I'm looking at their website, and it says November, so I think you need to get onto them.
What, Fruitworks?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I know they haven't started marketing.
I was about to tell you he was on it. So,
all right.
Yeah.
No, they haven't started marketing it yet. So, I'll get onto them later.
Yeah. They're in trouble.
Well, the problem is that we can only cope with so many people and it gets full.
Yes.
And last time we had 60 people and that was getting on too many, really, because we didn't have room.
Yeah.
So we leave it till the last minute now to publicise it.
Yeah. No, that sounds cool. I liked it when we had the stand-up comedian person. That was good.
Yeah, that was
have
good.
You had any
yeah.
more of those? Are they
yeah, yeah,
something?
No, we always have, we have three speakers and an entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a performance poet. We've had some musicians and we've had a stand-up comedian. I'm not sure who the entertainment is this time,
mm-hmm.
But we have got one. I just don't know who it is.
Might be you tap dancing. If we're very unlucky.
It probably is.
Tap dancing yeah. a fig leaf or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, again.
Right, I'll do another one. Shall I? Invicta Chamber Christmas lunch.
No.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Your last chance to join us and other chamber members at Eastwell Manor. Oh, actually, it's tomorrow, Wednesday the 5th. It includes reception drink, three-course meal and wine, 11:30 to 2:30, and you need to book at bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Nothing wrong with that. There may be people at a loose end today going, I do not know what I'm going to do tomorrow lunchtime.
There's nothing in the fridge.
There's nothing in the fridge. Marks and Spencer's have run out of sandwiches and, you know, the garage hasn't doing anything. I know, I'll go to Eastwell Manor.
Exactly. Yeah. Good plan.
Absolutely. I'm going to read an email.
Go on then.
This is a bit kind of convoluted, but I'll try and make sense of it. It's not their fault, it's my fault, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
This is Tunbridge Farmers Market, which is on Sunday the 9th of December, and then it's on the second Sunday of every month, and it's in Sovereign Way, Tunbridge, and you can find out all about it at www.tunbridgefarmersmarket.co.uk. And then after that, the next market is the 13th of January, and they have 90 stalls booked already.
90? Wow.
90, yeah. Booked already for the January one. Okay, but that's not what this is about. What it is the guy, Steve Wood, who runs Tunbridge Farmers Market and a few other farmers markets, they have a monthly newsletter, which is both paper-based and electronic, so mm-hmm. it's online. And that goes out to loads of local producers that have stands at all the farmers market. And what they're trying to do is to get other businesses that want to either advertise paid or offer discounts on their products to advertise to the stallholders that are at the various farmers markets.
Yeah.
So presumably if you're like a wholesaler or something and you want to get your products into a farmers market, you can advertise in Steve's magazine, or you can offer discounts, through Steve's magazine
mm-hmm.
to all these people that, exhibit, for want of a better word,
yeah.
at the farmers markets. And if you want to do that, all you've got to do is mention Channel Radio and the Business Bunker Show, and you can contact Steve at steve@tunbridgefarmersmarket.co.uk, or you can ring him on 07557739903. That's 07557739903. As always, with everything you hear on the Business Bunker Show, all these contact details will be on the website for you to follow up with later at kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Go on then, Joe. Do us another one.
Okay, I've got the Maidstone Borough Council's new website. The council's in the process of redesigning its website for residents, business and visitors. They're very keen to get input from business customers before the site goes live. So the site is customer focused and as user friendly as possible, and they're setting up a customer focus group. If you're interested, you can be sent a link to a test site for your views. All you need to do is email Karen Geale, J-E-A-L, so Karen Geale, J-E-A-L, at maidstone.gov.uk to register your interest. I'm just going to do this last one and then I can put this piece of paper down, because otherwise I get confused.
Is it heavy, Jo?
Yes, it is. One less will make it much better. Mm-hmm. The Prince's Trust Team Programme in Ashford is for young people aged 16 to 25. It's a 12-week course which involves planning, involving a week at a residential setting, work placements and a community project. It gives young people the opportunity to plan for their future and get assistance in writing a fantastic CV and practice interview skills. Part of the programme involves the group having individual mock interviews. They get an idea of what questions will be asked and what's typically required of them in interviews. So they're actually asking for people to help with the interviewing. So if any of your staff could carry out mock interviews on their behalf, please contact either Alex or Becky on 01622 683155, 01622 683155, or email info@cxk.org, and that's via the Kent and Victor Chamber, so you'll find more information there. So it's the Prince's Trust Team Programme in Ashford, helping out with mock interviews. Sounds interesting.
Cool. Thank you for that, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a tweet, so we'll start on the tweets. Jonathan Marsh, please can you mention the very worthy charity event on the 15th of December at Canterbury Rugby Club in aid of the Prince of Wales Regiment Benevolent Fund. So that's the Prince of Wales Regiment Benevolent Fund at Canterbury Rugby Club on December the 15th. We'll put the details of how to find out more about that on the Business Bunker website. And I also just like to say a big well done to young Stuart Andrews.
Oh, that'll be your son then?
That'll be baby son.
Baby Stu. Why, what's he done?
Baby Stu and his mate Dimitri Gripani have so far, and are still going, raised £8,000.
Wow.
For Afghan refugees via the rock concert they staged at, or are staging at, King's School in Canterbury.
Wow, that's brilliant.
You can still donate to that. They've got £8,000 already, and they haven't even taken place yet. So he managed to blag loads of sponsors and stuff like that. So well done to Stu and Dimitri.
Yeah,
excellent
well done.
Effort. And I hope the concert goes swimmingly well and you double your money.
You're not singing at it, obviously. They wouldn't have raised that much money then, would they?
That is very true. Mind you, if they'd have been smart, they could have raised probably twice the amount by offering for me to not sing.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Exactly. We could have put out an appeal on here, couldn't we?
We could have done indeed. Hey, do you know what we're going to do now, though?
Play some tunage.
We're going to play some tunage. And after that, we'll be back to speak to our first guest. What do you reckon?
Sounds like a good plan. I'm very excited about our first guest.
Bit of Lifted.
Lifted. all get daffodils. Doesn't really matter about the rain.
Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Hey, Lighthouse family there with Lifted.
I was bopping.
We were bopping. We were all bopping. We were. We were. It was a lot of disco in this studio, listener. It really
probably
was.
Hasn't found the flashing lights he told us about earlier. I'm sure he's just having me on.
Yeah. Apparently, somebody tried to call the show just now and couldn't get through for some reason. But I don't know why. The phone is working and it's all on. I just checked it. So if you do want to call again, do please give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. It's 01303 874 998. Give us a call. We're going to do a couple more emails and tweets and things, and then we're going to come to our first guest, I think, Joe. And yeah. I'm going to go first.
Go on then.
Yeah, because I'm like that. Yeah. A local hotel has raised £3,989 for the Kent Air Ambulance. The Best Western plus the Dover Marina Hotel and Spa has held a gala dinner themed on the James Bond movie Diamonds Are Forever, which featured award-winning close-up magician Etienne Pradier. Etienne the Frog. I know Etienne.
Do you?
Yeah.
Was he in the Bond film then?
No. Etienne is a close-up magician. They own the Timber Bats out in wherever it is. Why? Fantastic French restaurant and pub there. And Etienne is a close-up magician. Really brilliant. He's absolutely amazing.
Timber Bats doesn't sound very French. Was that your pronunciation?
No. The Timber Bats is the name of the pub.
Oh, okay.
And they own a restaurant called Froggies.
Oh, I've heard of Froggies. Yeah.
Which is in the Timber Bats pub. Do keep up, Joe. I can't edumacate you if you don't pay attention.
No, I know.
Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah, Etienne Pradier and Rat Pack singer Martin Croons. That's a good name, isn't it?
Croons.
Martin Croons. That's really
his real
good.
Name.
Bound to be.
Do you think he's got big ears? Oh, no, that's that Martin Croons.
So, this year, the annual gala dinner, dance, casino and auction at the Best Western plus Dover Marina Hotel and Spa raised nearly £4,000 for the Kent, Surrey and Sussex Air Ambulance. The hotel general manager, Anoub Saban, and events manager, Jane Ivor Jones, have visited the air ambulance base at Marden to present the cheque. So, thank you for that. Well done to all involved at the Best Western and the Dover Marina Hotel and Spa in Dover, to Trevor Bond and his team there. Fantastic. Raising
really
that money for Kent Air Ambulance. Well done.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, I've got one from Pilgrim's Hospice. And they are saying, it says hi, Jules. I don't know why I'm reading this one.
No, well, she sent it to Jules.
She says,
and Jules sent it to me.
It's Joe reading it. It says, I'm just emailing. And by the way, have you noticed my voice? Do you think it sounds quite sexy with my sort of, lost my voice?
Yeah,
I lost my
sexy
voice completely last week. I couldn't speak. Everyone was really happy.
Really? Why didn't you tell me? You should have texted me. I would have come over and listened.
I persevered,
to
though.
Silence.
I kept trying till it came back. So, it says,
you shouldn't have done that on our behalf, Joe.
It says, I'm just emailing as we've been offered an opportunity to backpack at Morrison's in Canterbury on Christmas Eve. This is Pilgrim's Hospice. And they need an army of volunteers to help them. They've been given the times of 9 a.m. till 4 p.m. and they've got no helpers. So can we use our contacts and the show to help them recruit some helpers? Well, can I put out a little pitch for this? When I started my HR career, worked in Safeway, the supermarket chain that probably all the youngsters have never heard of. And Christmas was brilliant in the supermarket. I used to go on the checkout, which was even more fun than bag packing. But packing bags and whatever else on Christmas Eve is just so cool because everyone's so happy and there's like Christmas music and it's the one day where you don't mind.
Right.
Even though you've been listening to it for 30 days. And it's just such a lovely atmosphere. So anyone who wants to do something to help a local charity, Pilgrim's Hospice, and wants a bit of fun on Christmas Eve, then I'd go along if I was them. I'm not going to be here, I hasten to add. Otherwise, I may well have done because I'm quite good at packing bags.
Brilliant.
I used to train people how to pack bags.
Did you?
Yeah.
You found your vocation then.
It was really good because I used to set up the training. I used to go and get particular packets that fitted in a bag squarely, properly into a square and everything else. So it was like really perfect. But of course, that never happens when you're doing proper shopping, is it? Because they're all different sizes and nothing ever fits and you have things sticking out and they break the bags, something else. But my training bags always looked perfect.
Did I ever tell you my story about packing bags in a supermarket?
No, don't think so.
Very briefly, many, many years ago, mm-hmm. I spoke at a conference in Denver, Colorado.
Oh, is this when you were a motivational speaker in the very, in the city and all that?
Have I mentioned that before? Yeah. I spoke at a conference and I motivated, boy did I motivate them. Anyway, I spoke at a conference in Denver and Colorado uh-huh. and in the evening I was at a loose end. I had another day there and I was just uh-huh. kind of wandering around town. And I, late at night, kind of 11 o'clock as you do, I wandered into a Kmart store.
Uh-huh.
And you know what supermarkets are like in the United States, you know. It was about 8 miles long. You needed a taxi to get from one end to the other.
Yeah.
And they sold everything from, you know, cornflakes
to tractors
and bazookas and mm-hmm. tanks and all yeah. kinds. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I bought a few bits and pieces and I walked up to the checkout and it was one of those, it was one of the first new, holographic checkouts where you hook your basket on it and it scan read everything and it drops it into a basket. Yeah.
I can hear a phone ringing, but it's out there. Is that why it's going wrong? Do we think?
Oh, yeah, it's ringing there.
Hang on.
Well done. Hello. You're on the Business Bunker Show. Oh, hi, yeah, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I know you normally speak to Brant, but I thought I'd mix things up and give you all a call. Oh, I can't hear anything.
It's good to hear from you. It's not very loud. Can I ask you to shout a bit?
Okay, how about now?
That's perfect, thank you.
Okay, I'm shouting. No, I hope you're all well. We're listening to the show whilst we put up our Christmas tree.
Cool.
And, just thought we'd give you a call, actually, about one of our clients. Can you hear us still?
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah? Sorry, hold on. No, we can't hear at this end.
You can't hear what? You?
No, I'm in a different room, but Brant and the team are listening from... No.
Okay, it's quite low. I'm having difficulty hearing you as well. We can hear you through the headphones here, but I'm not sure what it's like on the output side.
Okay, I might try on a different phone. No, don't worry, I don't think this is working. I'll try again.
Okay.
Cheers, Paul.
All right, cheers. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, sorry about that. I don't know why we could hear it. I don't know why they couldn't
hear it. Can anyone else hear it? Can you tweet and tell us if you heard it?
No, what it will be is on the output side, when you're listening on the radio, which they would be there,
yeah.
or on a PC,
uh-huh.
it's very low, the incoming signal from the phone. We can hear it, but by the time it's broadcast again, it drops quite low, which is why you have to ask people to shout.
You have to repeat everything they say.
Yeah.
Well, so anyway, your story.
Well, hold on.
Oh, sorry.
The problem is with yeah. that, and the reason it sounded disjointed, in order to make you be able to hear it, I have to turn my mic off. And if I turn my mic off, she can't hear me.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
Yeah. Anyway, she's going to call back, hopefully.
Yeah.
Anyway, my story in Kmart, yeah, they automatically scanned it, and it drops it into a cage, and you swipe your credit card,
uh-huh.
and then it releases it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a lady there who was bagging it for you.
Very good.
Yeah, but it was a typical American store. This was about 20 years ago, bear in mind. Anyway, I went through the rigmarole of doing this, and I swiped it, and it released it. And then the lady said, can I bag that for you, sir? And I said, yes, thank you very much.
Wrong accent. Denver, Colorado.
So she bagged it for me,
yeah.
and she handed it to me, and she said, thank you for shopping at Kmart. Be back soon. Missing you already. So I said, do you fancy me? And she went, no.
Funny,
and I said, well, why are you missing me then? And she said, well, I'm not really. They just tell us to tell say that on the training. And I said, well, it's horrible. Don't. And then she called security. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, it's a shame that. EK Media, please give us a call back if you can. But we do have problems with the levels on phone calls for some reason. I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah, or if not, tweet the thing you wanted to tell us about and we can read it out instead.
Yeah, yeah, or tweet us. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is nice to hear people on the phone.
It is.
But
if only we could make the phone work.
No, the phone works. It's by the time it goes through all the equipment, you know, sometimes the just phone levels are just really poor. They're
You're
really
just
low.
Making excuses, Paul. They used to be able to phone in and just speak normally and it was fine. So obviously it's something at our end. It's not that our listeners don't shout loud enough.
No, it is really. Right, I've got a tweet I'm going to read and then we're going to come to our first guest. I've had a tweet from Lynn Meek who says, hiya, I'm a freelance personal stylist, image consultant and wardrobe editor. Based in Tunbridge Wells. And my website is stylingmatters.co.uk.
But you know what I think's better?
What?
Her Twitter name.
Yeah. Go on.
Meeky Squeaky. I love it.
Meeky Squeaky, yeah.
So that's Can you tweet us and tell us why it's Meeky Squeaky? But yeah, carry on.
Yeah, that's Lynn Meek from somebody else who's a freelance personal stylist, and her website, stylingmatters.co.uk. Cool. I also noticed, I know it's further up the list, but it would be good to read it out now, that Billy Dean tweeted us as well. Do you want to do that?
Yeah, I saw that. He was saying that Etienne was really good, and he's a wonderful man, he said, and he urges anyone to go out of their way to see him. And he says, Martin, what a wonderful voice. Who's Martin?
Martin Croons.
Oh, Croons. Yeah. I forgot. See, I'd
pay
forgotten
attention,
that. Pay attention, exactly.
Yeah. You're doing too much over there. Yeah. You're fiddling around, playing with all your technology.
I know. Exactly. Just trying to confuse you.
Yeah.
Well, right. Come on then. Our next guest. My friend.
Let's talk to our first guest.
She's really nervous and we're making her wait and wait and wait.
Terrified.
Are you?
Yeah.
You don't look terrified, Jill. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome Jill Tipping to the Business Bunker. Jill, you're a PR consultant and speaker, a motivational speaker. There's a lot of us about, and we're really good, despite what Dodd says. But you're also an author.
I am.
Blimey.
I know.
Tell us about that. How did that happen?
Well, it happened all of a sudden, actually. Right. Yeah, it did. Well,
I just say, not just an author of erotic fiction. I mean, come on.
We were saving that. We were saving that bit.
Right, go on then.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, well, it all happened sort of in the summer, the late summer. And I've had a plot idea in my mind for about 5 years now.
Right.
And never had the time to get it sorted out. Anyway, there was Mr. Tipping, John, and I watching a programme.
We don't want too many details.
No. We were in the lounge fully clothed watching a documentary on that famous book. Now, what's it called? 50-something.
Oh, 50 Sheds of Grey.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we watched a documentary and John said, turned to me and he said to me, do you know what? He said, you should write your book. And I said, you're right. And he said, well, go on then. So I did.
Brilliant.
That was it. So I went off into my office and I drew a bit of a plan. And then I just started page one. And 4 weeks later, there was the book.
4 weeks. Can you believe that? How many words?
Right. 85,000.
It's a proper book in 4 weeks.
In 4 weeks?
Yeah. The editing took
longer.
8 weeks.
And that wasn't because she was trying out all the bits.
The spell checker melted.
But yeah, so I loved it. I'm halfway through book two. So this
really?
Is it. So now I am author, speaker.
Right, okay. So you enjoyed the process of writing it?
Yes, I did.
To such an extent that you've gone straight back in to write another one?
Yes.
I mean, we'll talk about what the book's about in a minute, because that's the interesting bit. But no, I didn't mean that, really.
Easy.
Ask her what her mum said about it, though. But
no, I'll tell you what, Joe, you ask her.
Well, no, you ask her what you're going to ask.
Yeah, no. Joe would like me to ask you what your mum said about it.
Well,
tell them about how you...
Yeah, go on, tell her.
How you got your feedback at the beginning. So you gave it to two people, didn't you?
I'll tell you what, Jill.
Yes,
why don't we get Joe to do this? That would be much easier, wouldn't it? Why don't you just tell us all about it, Joe? And then Jill and I are interrupt you.
I'm a bit worried because Joe has actually now used up all the oxygen in the room. As usual.
Yeah.
But anyway, deep breath. Yeah, so as soon as I finished the book, I thought, right, I wonder if this is rubbish or not, because you don't know. So I gave a copy to my daughter, who's 25. I gave a copy to my mum, who's almost 80. Right. And I thought, right, well, there we go. Two ends of the spectrum there. They will tell me the truth. And I had nothing all night. Nobody said anything. There was no phone calls or anything. And I was thinking, oh, I said to John, oh, no, it's rubbish. You know, I hadn't told anybody I was writing it in case it was rubbish. Mm. And then anyway, I had a text when I woke up the next morning from my daughter saying, for your information, I didn't get any sleep all night because I couldn't put this down. So that was a good sign. Anyway, later on, in comes my mum. She's going, oh, speechless like that. And then she said to me, bit raunchy, darling. And she said, could I just ask, are you writing from experience? It's not a conversation you want to have with your mum.
Not with your mum, no. You don't want to go there.
So I didn't answer. So,
I was going to say, and you said...
I didn't answer, Paul.
No comment.
And how many times has your mum read the book now?
Three times.
Does she look at you funny?
She does, actually.
Does she look at John funny?
This is great, though.
Cool.
So
that's brilliant. So, publishing it,
yes.
How have you got on with that?
Well, this is the really interesting part, because being a writer now is not just about putting words down on the page. It's actually about marketing your book. It's actually about publishing it yourself these days.
Yeah.
You know, sending off manuscripts to publishers, that doesn't happen very
anymore.
Often now.
No, absolutely.
And the beauty of it is that you don't need to. You can publish yourself. And I'm helping some other authors publish their books as well.
Right, okay.
Because it's such a fantastic time with Kindle, and I use a big site called Smashwords in the United States as well, which sends it out to all different retailers as well, digital. I mean, I am in print as well,
right.
But you do both. And
did you use Lulu or something like that?
I use a local printer.
Did you?
Of course, yes. Ah. I used Orbital Print in.
I was thinking from self publishing. There's a site called Lulu.
I don't use Lulu.com. No, okay. I don't. But I know lots of people do.
Yeah.
And it's great to be able to, you know, to do it that way. But with digital print, you can have a few copies printed.
Absolutely.
So it's a great time to write. So if someone's got a book in them, do it.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Cool. So it's available as a hard copy book, but it's also available digitally.
Yes.
As Kindle. And you can get it through Amazon.
Yes.
And what's the title of this epic tome of your sex life, Jill?
Really isn't. It's called Beyond Fragile Boundaries.
Beyond Fragile Boundaries.
Boundaries, yeah.
Now, we've had lots of sniggers, and I mentioned the words erotic fiction, and you said it was sort of inspired by the 50 Shades programme. And I personally haven't read that book, but there's been a lot of hype about it. And I've been told that your book is much better, which is what I tell everybody, even though I've not read the other one. But that sort of overlying the fact that there's a real lovely story to your book. So tell us a bit of the sort of nub of the story.
Well...
I'm glad you pronounced that properly.
I would suggest, if you've read 50 Shades of Grey, you will love my book.
Okay.
That isn't to say that Beyond Fragile Boundaries is another 50 Shades of Grey, because it's very, very different.
Right.
Now, I read all three 50 Shades of Grey. Okay. Research purposes, obviously.
Obviously.
Okay. I found it interesting commercially, very, very interesting. What an amazing success. But I also found it a bit one dimensional. Whereas my book is a story in which a young man sort of goes into manhood with the help of an older lady. That's what it's all about. And he learns, and so does she, but it affects everybody around them. So there's a lot of plots going on, lots of different people getting involved. Whereas 50 Shades, I found, was two main characters with a little bit on the periphery of a few other people. So my characters are very lifelike and very real and very believable.
Right. The sort of feedback I'd had was that 50 Shades felt in lots of ways like sort of lots of sex scenes with some stories thrown into tie altogether, whereas your book to me, as I was one of the privileged to be one of the first people to read it, was very much the story. And yes, there are some sex scenes in it, but they're very much part of the story and they don't feel like they're gratuitous or just chucked in for sort of, you know, titillation.
It's all right, listener, they're making up their own stories now.
But one of the things I thought was really interesting, and talking to your bestest friend at your book launch, she said exactly the same thing, that for the first chapter or two, I knew it was your book, so I was hearing your voice reading it to me, which was a bit disconcerting, to say the least. But after that, it was gone.
Yeah.
I was absorbed in the story, and it wasn't you, it was the story that I was reading. It wasn't, you know, Jill's story and her writing it sort of thing, which to me was a really good sort of proof that it was actually a really well-written story that you do get lost in. And yes, I was up till 2 o'clock in the morning finishing the blinking thing off when I had work to do the next day.
But me too. Me too. I've read it several times. I even read it on my own Kindle. I wrote it. Mad.
Yeah. Did it come as a surprise, the ending?
It did. I love the ending. Brilliant.
Blimey, I never knew that. I didn't see that coming.
I didn't see that coming. And I have to say, there will be a sequel.
Right, okay.
I'm so looking forward to that.
So are you working on a second book at the moment?
I'm working on a second book, which is actually a different set of characters. A different
book.
Yeah, so, but I've got the plot in my mind for book number three. So it's all three of them will be out by the spring.
Okay.
Now, can I do my Richard and Judy bit?
Yeah.
There's still a big thing about book clubs and people getting together and discussing stories and things like that. And is that something that you would like to be involved in, or you would promote, or whatever?
Yes, definitely.
Sorry, that made me laugh. Listen, I just had a thought about that.
What, they don't, you know, you don't demonstrate to the book.
I was going to say, in that called an orgy normally.
But as in, you know, if there are book clubs and people who that have those sorts of meetings where they talk about the things they've read and stuff like that. You're up for visiting, aren't you? And,
absolutely.
Or sending them an interview or written stuff or something, yeah, to help them, notes to help them.
Yeah, I'd really like people to email me. And my email address is Jill at my name. So Jill at jilltipping.co.uk, which is my website as well. So if anybody wants to comment on it, good, bad, indifferent, whatever, I'd love to hear the feedback.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Good. So read it.
Paul, will you read it and give us some feedback?
Yeah, of course, yeah, I will. Yeah, of course I will. I'll read it. No worries.
Maybe learn a thing or two.
I'll probably learn an awful lot. I'm saying nothing.
We're all looking at you, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what you expect me to do right now. Dash out and read it now. You want me to read it now? Like,
we should
right
go into
reading
an excerpt, shouldn't we?
Yeah. Yeah. I could have read some out if you had it here. Yeah.
You could have done. Exactly. I've got my Kindle with me.
In my best Phil Jupiter's voice.
Yes.
Well, yeah. That would have done it, wouldn't it? Yeah. That would have sent me to,
If there are any filmmakers out there.
Yes, definitely. I was thinking of that it would make a good, say, I don't, sort of series on
drama
BBC.
Miniseries.
Yeah,
thing,
drama,
yeah,
miniseries,
yeah.
Well, definitely.
If it was adaptable, one of the things we are doing on Channel Radio is drama.
Ah, right.
We're doing radio dramas, we've already commissioned two or three local writers, and a couple of them are finished, and we're ready to go to production. Mm. So there will be some plays on to radio at some time. So
that'd be great.
So if you wanted to adapt it for radio.
Yeah.
You can't have the main character though, Paul. He's only, how old is he? 19? No.
18.
18.
Adam.
You can't be Adam.
It's on the radio. That's the beauty of it. They'd never know. Yeah, I can be anything I want.
Yeah, but if they had Phil Jupiter's in their mind, it's just not going to work.
I can talk through some gauze.
I mean, I know it's fantasy, but that's ridiculous.
Just use your imagination.
Well, Jill has got a good imagination, but I don't think the rest of us
obviously
have.
Obviously. So you're saying I can't have a part in it, is what you're saying? A part in it.
Oh, you could. Are there some older men in it?
He could be Adam's dad.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, coming to our next guest.
Well, he does have an 18-year-old son, so, you know.
I have a 28-year-old son. Yeah. I'm not worried about that, yeah.
So do go and buy it, download it on Kindle, or they can order it from your website, can't they?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's all the directions on my website, which is my name, so okay. It's quite straightforward, thank
so
you.
So it's jilltipping.co.uk.
It is.
There is already a link to Jill's website from the Business Bunker website, and that will stay up there forever under the show archive, so if you ever want to follow up on that, and as Jill says, read it, and if you want to tell her anything about the book, then get in touch with her. Jill, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Paul. It's lovely to be here. Thanks.
It's an absolute pleasure for you to be on here.
Thank you.
And, I mean, we did kind of take the mickey a bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. Which isn't fair. Because I haven't read it even, but Joe has. But no, well done. And all power to you. And on a serious note, it just shows you one of the things that I really love about what we can do in all kinds of fields nowadays, mm-hmm, is there are so many opportunities to do things.
Yeah.
You know, in the past, it was just so hard to do anything like write a book, mm-hmm, own a radio station, produce a film, mm-hmm, or anything like that. Now anyone can do it. Mm-hmm. The facilities exist to enable people to do it, and people do it, and they make fantastic breakthroughs. And it just makes you wonder what talent was lost in years gone past, mm-hmm, that never got through the barriers, yeah, of getting published or seen or on the radio or on TV or whatever. And now, you know, you can do it. And I think that's really, really all power to you. And setting an example like that, that encourages other people to have a go too.
Yeah.
And to help them, as you said, through the process of doing it.
And if anybody wants any, you know, if they want a bit of help, just give me an email, and if I can help, I will.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Jill, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker. It's an absolute pleasure. We'll have you back on when your next book's out.
Okay, that'd be great.
But for the moment, stay with us for the rest of the show and feel free to join in.
Thank you.
Cool.
Thanks,
you. I've had a number of tweets now from the lovely Sally Laker and Mark Smith and a few other people saying, no, we couldn't hear the caller. So I don't know what happened there, because we could hear them in the studio. We obviously just couldn't hear them outbound. So I'm really not sure. Sorry about that. But as it happened, they've tweeted what they wanted to say on the phone anyway. So Eke Media were calling a client product launch, which is a company called Artbox, and they have a 40% Christmas sale. And you can find out about that at their website, which is www.kmedia.co.uk. Canvas R Us. That's the letter R Us, all one word. CanvasRUs.co.uk. Oh, and Lynn answered your question.
Yes, her name is Meek. Meeky? Meek?
Her name is Lynn Meek.
Meek, that's yeah. it. So, and I went back and said, so you're not squeaky then? But she says she has her moments.
Right.
But have you seen what's above that tweet?
I don't know. Go on.
Somebody offering us his services in the film, in the radio play, I mean, sorry.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Haven't you got it? Oh, no, it's on my Twitter account. It's Mark. It's Made in Kent. He's offering himself up for a part.
Well, Mark is into Amdram, I happen to know. And I happen to know that because one of his compatriots in Amdram, is, Nigel Banks, is writing one of the plays for our... studio. No, well,
maybe people could tweet in their ideas for who should play the part.
Yeah, Mark. Mark, you failed the audition, mate. Get in a queue.
I was thinking I might be Carla. What do you think? Well, I have my sexy voice. Is she sexy? Yeah. I don't think I could read out the rude bits, though. I'd just be too embarrassed.
Cool. Jonathan.
He's not listening, is he?
No, I am. You said I couldn't read out the rude bits. I'd be too embarrassed.
Dodsey does that. I say you weren't listening. He says I was. And I say, what did I say? And he just repeats it. But he hasn't heard it or listened or done anything as a result of it. He's just literally repeated it back. And little Dodsey started doing it too. I don't need you joining in as well. Thank you very much. Oh, now he's yawning.
It's one thing nagging your husband, yeah, but it's another thing nagging your co-presenter, isn't it? That takes some particular bottle, that, really.
Sorry, what were you saying anyway?
I'm not, that's...
She says changing the subject.
Yeah, and not listening.
Purposely.
I was just about to say that Jonathan Marsh has tweeted again. Maybe you forgot he tweeted earlier about the Prince of Wales Regiment Benevolent Fund. So Canterbury Rugby Club, get there.
Maybe he just didn't hear us read it out. Maybe Possibly. He's not even listening.
Possibly. Well, he is now because his tweet is quite clear that he's listening now. So maybe he wasn't listening earlier when I read it out, but I read it out again now.
Yeah.
So that's cool. We've also had a tweet from Active Doors and Windows. We have a 50% sale on right now, pre-Christmas, and it's always quiet at this time of year. And you can find out about that at kentdoubleglazing.co.uk. That is kent-double-glazing.co.uk. So if you want to buy your wife some double glazing for Christmas, now's your chance.
Sorry, I shouldn't have laughed, should I? Have you read the one out about the Edenbridge Christmas Spectacular?
Nope.
They've apparently got Zamo from Grange Hill turning their lights on. How cool is that? Do you remember Zamo?
Yeah.
He was in that Just Say No video, wasn't he?
Yeah.
It's 2 till 7 on Saturday, this Saturday. And the other people are Lenleys. They've sent a message about mulled wine and Christmas wine tasting on Saturday the 15th in the Terrazzo, 2 till 5,
yeah.
with host catering for Kent. I was particularly reading it out because they sent us the weather last time, didn't they, in Canterbury?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was raining and it wasn't raining here. And then we got confused and repeated ourselves.
Absolutely.
So hello again.
I told you, my theory was right. Obviously, everybody's just got in from Christmas shopping because we've just gone mad on Twitter. Everybody's just started tweeting.
Yes, because they've got all erotic now. That's why
they're all hot and bothered now. They've been listening to Jill, and they're all diving in, trying to get involved now. Now there's something sexually orientated to look
at. Exactly. Well, we've got another offer on mine. Sorry, I'm completely interrupting here. Billy Dean wants to be in the play as well. He could be Adam.
He could be. Billy could be Adam.
You could be the
Billy is an actor.
Adam.
Billy is an actor as well.
Oh, you can be Adam then.
Yeah.
Ooh, and then I could be Carla. I've never met Adam, actually. Adam?
You've been listening to the Business Funky
I'm
Show.
I'm confused now.
On Tuesday, December the 4th. We're going to give up right now because there's no point in carrying on with this. It is bedlam in this studio, listener, I'm afraid. We've got some serious problems going on in here.
Shall I read an email?
I think we can establish a modicum of decorum. It would help, yes.
Okay. Right. Canterbury tweet up. To completely change the subject. 5th of December. At the Miller's Arms, a free event. It's on Wednesday, so that's tomorrow. 10 till noon, the Miller's Arms at St Radigan's in Canterbury, and it's free. So you can go to canterburytweetup.com to find out more.
Cool. Thank you for that. I'm going to do an email, and then I think we'll come to our second studio guest. There's a business community breakfast, and there's a workshop at F Keys. The Business Community Breakfast, which are a networking group, are promoting a day at F Keys on the Medway City Estate. Alex Waterton is a member of the Business Community Breakfast Group, and he is a Microsoft certified trainer with F-Keys. The day will start with a NetLinked breakfast at 7 a.m. and will include workshops on Microsoft Office Suite and various social media. There'll be a BizLinks networking lunch during which there will be a presentation on storage and mailings by BW Fulfillment. Thereafter, there will be ample opportunity for further discussion and networking until 6 p.m. Blimey, that's a marathon. The day is designed for people to dip in and out as they wish. Okay. The entire day, including lunch, coffees, teas and everything else, will cost £20, including VAT.
That's a bargain.
That's a bargain, isn't it? Just to go for the lunch.
Yeah.
Visitors to the NetLink breakfast will require to pay £10 for the breakfast. So that's it. If you want to find out about that, it's www.businesscommunitybreakfast.co.uk. What do you reckon?
Sounds brilliant. Sorry, because I've just read Made in Kent's tweet. How very dare you?
What?
He said you weren't allowed to be in it. You said you weren't. He wasn't allowed to be in it, and he's obviously offended. You can be. I'm in charge, not Paul.
No, well, Mark and I were up for the same part. That was the thing.
Yes, good point. Yeah, no, you're definitely Adam's in. You can be Adam's
dad. No, don't start. who brought this woman into the studio? She's starting on me now.
I know.
Isn't there a part for Phil Jupiter? I've never been called Phil. I've been called loads of things, but never Phil Jupiter.
No, you do sound a bit like him. But she can write you into the next book, can't you, Jill?
Cool. When I had hair many years ago, I used to be asked for my autograph all the time because people thought I was Robert Lindsay.
You know, I can sort of see that.
Wolfie Smith.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. Citizen Smith. Yeah.
I did look a lot like him.
Yeah. Not anymore, though.
Not anymore, because I lost
He's
my hair
aged
and he
better.
Didn't.
Not laughing, listener.
Don't you worry. I'm unlogging all this. There will be retribution at some point. Don't you worry.
Right. Shall I do another thingy?
You can do one more, and then I want to talk to Pam, because she's much more sensible than all you people.
So this one says, hi, Paul, Joe and listeners. Thank you, Paul, for getting my name right. Would you like to let everyone know that the first ever Kent Web Awards, brought to you by kentvenues.co.uk and supported by jobsinkent.com, is open for entries. There'll be 22 separate awards, and the entry's totally free. We believe there's so much unsung online talent in Kent, and our aim is to showcase the best of the best. So any Kent-based business with a website can enter, as well as any Kent-based media agency and web designer, male or female. Why does it say male or female? Kent-based media agency / web designer.
I don't know. Maybe there are categories for male and female web designers.
Oh, maybe they do.
Maybe there's best girly website.
We also have a category for best young web designer, but that doesn't say male or female.
Maybe they've only got one category.
So if you know any budding web designers under 18, let them know. Follow us on Twitter at KWA2013 for full details. And if you'd be interested in sponsoring a category or helping us with the judging, drop us an email. That's inquiries@kentwebawards.co.uk. It says, have a fantastic show, a little smiley face. Thank you, Paul. Sorry, we were being silly in the middle of it, but it's about the size of it today.
Do you know, I think we'll try and introduce a modicum of,
normalcy
into, the proceedings here as time is fueling
okay.
And all that. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the show Pam Locke of Locke Associates. Pam, thank you for coming on the Business Bunker. Absolute pleasure to see you.
Thanks, Paul.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about you and your business and what you do, and then we'll go from there.
Oh, well, where will we start? Well, you'll probably be able to tell from my accent that I'm not local. But I did move into Tunbridge Wells in Kent 5 years ago.
Right.
Before that, I was working in London. I've gradually worked my way down from Dundee in Scotland through Edinburgh, Newcastle, down to London, set up the business there after working for a few law firms. And I've been specialising as an employment lawyer for a long time before I did that. My husband was working in Hastings, and it was convenient to be based in Tunbridge Wells, so that's where I ended up setting up the business. So we've got offices now in London, Tunbridge Wells, and now Brighton.
Oh, cool.
And we've got an employment law practice and an HR consultancy to support employees, to employers, and we work for employers and employees.
Okay, cool. As you may know, Joe here used to work in HR before they tweaked and got rid of her.
When she was more sensible.
Yeah, when she was more sensible. trying to be sensible for a moment and remembering this is allegedly a business show, it is one of those areas where more and more small businesses can no longer ignore a lot of the rules and regulations and things that they need to do. And as a small business owner, it's the last thing you want to focus on.
Yeah.
But in a lot of respects, it ought to be the first.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. If you can start off with the right foot,
yeah,
get things in place at the beginning when you start your business, it's excellent. That's the best thing to do. But you're right, there's a lot of businesses have possibly dealt with it themselves when actually it's not their strength. I mean, at the end of the day, you don't set up a business running a radio show because you're a fantastic HR. So why try and dabble in it yourself? And so what we've done is we've tried to provide a service through the HR consultancy business, HR Advise Me, that supports small businesses.
Yeah.
And they can do it remotely, keeps the cost down. But you've got somebody like Joe in the form of our consultants who, you know, are very experienced. You're getting, you know, fantastic HR capability there, which means you're freed up to focus on, you know, developing your business and doing the best thing.
As someone very early in my business career that ended up purely not my fault.
You always say that.
Yeah, in an industrial tribunal.
Oh, that must have been a wee while ago if you're calling it an industrial tribunal.
Yeah, it was.
Showing his age, see? Exactly what I was saying earlier.
It was 25 years ago. When I first started in business, and one of the very first people we ever employed ended up taking us to a tribunal. I can testify. What do they call them now then?
Employment.
Sorry. No, hold on. Let somebody else get a word in.
You looked at me.
Pat.
She's right. George, right. It's an employment tribunal now.
Right. Okay.
An employment judge is no longer chairman.
Right. Okay.
It's all gone up a step.
All right. Okay. Well, in my day, it was an industrial tribunal, and there were three people on there. It was normally a local magistrate, a trade union bod, and then a random person. And I can say, as an employer, that the process was horrendous.
Yeah.
It was time consuming. Mm-hmm. It was angry making. It was incredibly fraught. And we actually won, which is almost unheard of in an industrial tribunal. Employers never win.
Cynical.
Yeah. But we actually won the case, but it didn't do us the slightest bit of good because, of course,
it cost so much money and time.
And that's not recoverable in an employment tribunal. So even if you're right, you still can't avoid following the rules. So the lesson that I learned from that very early on, even though we won the case, is that, you know, we won it kind of technically. We got a bit of a slap that said you should have done this a bit better. But on the whole, they brought about their own kind of demise and therefore found against them. But my point and what I want to explore with Pam is that getting all of that in place up front and knowing what you have to do in advance is crucial.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to say, I mean, with my employment lawyer's hat on, the last place on earth I want to be is representing a client in tribunal. Mm. Okay, I'm doing myself out of fees, but I would rather they didn't end up there because it is a lottery.
Yeah.
Depends on the panel that's in front of you. I mean, 2 years ago I had to sit there and explain what CCTV was to the panel, which was a bit of a concern. But, you know, you don't know who's going to be making the judgments and, you know, what view they form. Sometimes they are sympathetic towards the employee. At other times they take a different view. But there's no doubt as an employer, you need to have your ducks in a row. You need to make sure you've got your contracts of employment, your policies and procedures. And to be quite frank, it makes your life easier anyway if you've got a policy you can point to and say, look, that's what we do here.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So that's what I want to explore. I know you do a range of other things, but I kind of want to start this bottom up because I deal with a lot of businesses, a lot of startup businesses. And of course, the last thing they think about is administration of any kind. You know, they're keen on whatever their business is, getting that off the ground, getting some customers and all the rest of it. But I repeatedly tell them, you must get your bookkeeping straight. You must get your HR straight. You must get everything straight before you start, because if you start on the right foot, it's really simple.
Yep.
If you have to come back and retrofit it, it's really difficult.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things, actually, there's a good example today on the news. There was a business in Whitstable, I think it was, it's been raided. Mm. And basically, there's illegal immigrants that are working there.
Right.
And what a lot of businesses don't realise is that you're required to make sure that you have proof of your employees' right to work in the UK.
Absolutely.
And maintain that on the record. So what you want to do at the beginning is get your personnel systems in place, which is quite simple to do. I mean, you know, you can get some assistance from us to set it up. And we also do a starter pack, which is, you know, a basic contract of employment that meets the requirements under legislation and a handbook that's got all the policies and procedures you need without going overboard, because as a startup business, you're not going to have lots of employees.
Absolutely. I was going to ask about it. I'm glad you mentioned that. So you as an organisation, you provide to a new business. If I sent a new business to you, the first thing you'd say is, well, look, here's our starter pack. That will get you up and running.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then if you're an established business, the other thing that we do is we'd usually do a free HR health check, which essentially is looking at what you've got in place, where you've got gaps, if you've got high-risk areas, what you need to do to plug that gap and protect your business. Mm. And as I say, really, the key for us is making sure that you can focus on developing your business and your HR is taken care of.
Okay, cool. And so we can start with a starter pack that has the basics in. And what are the basics that you need to have in place from that starter pack? What are you giving that starter pack? What do you advise a business to have in place as the absolute bare minimum to start with?
Well, we advise you to have a contract of employment. But what you're actually required to have is a written statement of terms and conditions. And you're supposed to give that to employees within 8 weeks of starting.
Right.
Again, a lot of businesses don't appreciate that. Mm. And if you don't do that, somebody can take you to tribunal.
Right.
You know, if you end up dismissing them and they say, well, hang on a minute, you didn't give me my basic terms. So the first thing I would do is get a contract of employment, which contains additional terms you might want to include. Mm. And then in addition, you must have a disciplinary and grievance procedure. Mm. And we also recommend you have things like an equality and equal opportunities policy, capability procedure, things that you might need and should have to manage your business at an early stage.
Okay, that's interesting. It's interesting you say that, because a few business people will say to me things like, it doesn't matter, I haven't had people working for me for 2 years yet, so they can't take me to a tribunal.
Well, I think what I'm noticing in particular at the moment, and it could be because of the economy, but there's a lot of businesses say they don't have employees, but actually they do. Mm. They've got self-employed consultants that are calling themselves self-employed consultants, but they're not. Mm. Now, it's all well and good when the relationship is all hunky-dory, everybody likes each other, it's all great, but when you fall out, that's when someone will turn around and say, well, hang on, I've got rights here, I was actually an employee, despite the fact I was labelled self-employed. Mm. So I think a lot of businesses should be looking at that for two reasons. One is HMRC are picking up on it and are doing more checks.
Yeah.
And we've also got this auto-enrolment coming in with pensions, and it's quite a wide description that would cover someone that should be included in pension schemes. And I would say a lot of self-employed people would fall into that category.
Yeah, and not only that, you have the IR35 rules as well.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people that are allegedly self-employed that HMRC just don't recognise as being self-employed.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. It can be a minefield, which is why we need specialists you guys to talk to us.
No, absolutely it is. I mean, I do think, you know, I would say it, but we are worth our money.
Mm-hmm.
But employment lawyers, you know, nowadays, I mean, that's all I do all day long, is I specialise in employment law. And that's because it's become such a complex area.
Absolutely.
And you can so easily fall into traps, you know, inadvertently.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the big challenges, I think, for a lot of businesses is maternity leave and dealing with flexible working rights.
Mm.
And because a lot of people assume that I've got a right to flexible working, but it's actually a right to request it.
Yeah.
But it's trying to deal with that. And if you've got your policies and a culture in place that enables people to talk about these things up front, it makes it so much easier when somebody comes back off maternity leave to deal with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as you intimated earlier, the whole basis of this really is getting procedures in place for how to handle things. That's the core thing, isn't it? If you have some procedures in place that says, no matter what your dispute is, here's how you go about raising it, then people from both sides of the of what ends up as a divide have to follow that procedure.
Yeah, but I do think there's a lot of merit in trying to informally resolve things.
And
always features any procedure that we put together is, you know, it's important to try and resolve things informally, because often you find that that's where the issues start, is the breakdown communication.
Absolutely,
at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can get that right, people talking to each other, explaining where you're not performing, how to improve it, great.
Mm.
If that doesn't work, or somebody's very upset and they feel, well, I can't talk to you because actually you're not helping me resolve this issue, then obviously, yeah, have a procedure in place that helps
but
people.
I don't know how you feel about this. I mean, this is something that I always looked at when I had lots of employees working for me, which is to have a procedure in place that says, in the very first instance, if you're unhappy about anything, come and see me.
Absolutely, yeah.
If you're not happy about coming to see me, go and see her or him, yeah? But you have, you know, you need to talk to someone and raise your concerns, and we'll do that in an unofficial way. And if that's still not satisfied, then here's what you do to escalate it.
Definitely. I think that's the way forward.
Yeah.
The other thing that a lot of businesses don't sometimes benefit from is feedback from their staff, because there's some businesses where employees are not encouraged to talk about the business. Now, staff audits, I haven't seen them used as much recently, and I think, again, it's because businesses don't want to spend money on it, particularly during these economic, you know, tough times. But it actually is worthwhile spending some money and getting somebody from, you know, an external HR consultant to come in and just sit down for a few hours and get open the door to your staff. You can learn an awful lot from doing that.
Yep.
I mean, obviously that's for bigger businesses,
sure.
But I mean, you know, there's a benefit in just, you know, somebody externally getting some objective views, and you can learn a lot from it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I want to ask you, I'm going to try and blag some free advice now. I'm in the process of acquiring a company, and that has some staff in it.
Right.
So I've got to chupy them across, apparently.
You do.
Yeah. So,
apparently. And it doesn't
anyway. Allegedly. Yeah. Well, yeah, you're chupied. Very briefly, could you just describe to our listener,
and Paul.
And me.
What it actually means.
Yeah.
Well, it's European legislation, so we're sort of, I suppose, stuck with it. But essentially what it means is that you've got to protect the terms and conditions of the employees that are currently with the existing business when they transfer over.
Yeah.
So that means that you need to find out about what the terms and conditions are. Mm. Now, in 2006, we had new legislation that made it compulsory for the seller to tell you the basic terms and conditions.
Right.
And they've got to do that within 14 days or at least 14 days before the transfer so you can find out what you're taking on.
Right.
You need to tell them what measures you're taking. In other words, are you planning to make any changes once the transfer takes place? For example, you're going to move them from Kent down to France. These are the sort of things you're supposed to be informing and consulting over, as well as the fact a transfer could be taking place.
Right.
And then after the transfer, you do this lovely welcome letter saying, hello, you're now my employee. And hopefully you won't say immediately, we're going to change the terms and conditions if you haven't consulted on it, because that's going to cause you quite a few headaches.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll need my advice at that point.
Cool. Well, I probably need your advice anyway.
I've got my terms of business.
During that due diligence, you know, that you do beforehand?
Oh, that, yeah. I have actually been through the process before, which is why I asked, but yes.
It went wrong.
No, it didn't, but I will be going to Pam to talk about this.
But it is actually another area where we notice a lot of businesses are just a little bit ignorant about.
Yes, absolutely.
Until after the event, because unfortunately, some people don't realise it's actually a chippy transfer, and a simple change of contract from one cleaning company to another results in what's called a service provision change, which triggers the CHUPE requirements. So it's something just to be aware of if you're acquiring a business or if you're taking over a contract from somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's never too early to call an employment lawyer.
Absolutely.
Well, what I like talking to Pam is how pragmatic she is in her approach, which isn't always the case when you're talking to lawyers generally, but also employment lawyers.
Jo, I haven't always been a lawyer.
Oh, well, there you go. That's brilliant. You see, that's where it all comes from. Yeah. What were you before?
Oh, that's even worse. I did do an accountancy degree, and then I was a graduate trainee with an insurance company for 3 years where I did management training, and ended up specialising in pensions.
Ah.
And then decided I'd always wanted to be an employment lawyer.
That is very sad.
That's a bit of a trawl round every profession, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
What happened to being a vet then?
I decided I'd be a mother in the middle just to cover that off.
But it is interesting that from a sort of commercial point of view, or from a, you know, the businesses that are listening point of view, if you have the advice of somebody who really gets the fact that you're trying to run a business rather than wants to tell you every point of law and make you feel like you're being tied up in knots, then it's a real advantage, because you know, it is hard, and there's lots that goes on from an employment law perspective, and people I think don't want to go and sort of open what they see as a can of worms. They don't want to let the lawyer in to suddenly tell them that they've got, oh my God, all this stuff to do. Mm. And actually knowing that you've got a pragmatic perspective on it, which will say, look, this is really what you should be doing. Pragmatically, you can do this. That could be the issue, but this is, you know, blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, the business has to make a decision, and you're not making that decision for them. You're only giving them advice, but it sounds like it's advice that they can sort of understand and discern rather than feeling like they're being sort of hit over the head by the law or whatever, which is how it does feel to small business owners, I'm sure. I mean, it certainly did as a big business person, never mind as a small business person.
Sure.
Well, we try to recruit lawyers that come from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
They're solutions driven. That's what we want, because at the end of the day, I know what it's like running a business as well.
Yeah.
And I've got friends who run businesses. And even if you're a manager in a big business, you're still running a department.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be able to do what you want to run the business to the best of your ability. And we want to help you do that. So we regard it more as a partnership.
Absolutely.
We are there to try and add value. We're not there to be a block for you to develop.
No, exactly. I mean, when you were talking earlier about implementing procedures, and I was thinking, oh, that'll just be putting people off, you know, and it's absolutely right, you need to do it. But when it's in those terms, it makes people... I remember working in an organisation where I was supporting district managers, and the unit managers were like really sort of... They were always doing things under the radar because they were trying to get away with stuff. And I remember this district manager was really brilliant in the fact that he supported me massively and said to his managers, you can do whatever you like as long as you do it in the right way, and you need to speak to Joe to make sure that's how it's happening, sort of thing. So he was saying exactly that, you know, you've got to run a business, and we know that, and we're telling you what you need to do, but there is a way to do it that's better than the way that you might be thinking about doing it, and you need to work that out first before you take the action, sort of thing. And that is really what it is, and that's why you'd come in. It's saying, you know, given the big scheme of things, what is the best way to do this? What's the most pragmatic way to do this? Okay, what's the sort of belt and braces way to do this? And what actually are we going to do? And then sort of coming up with a reach there. And you can't do that unless you get the full advice from people who can look at it, you know, in all those angles, sort of thing. So.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is there's a lot of managers out there that don't have the skills.
Mm.
Soft skills.
That's true.
No,
that's very
and
true.
Big time.
We find, you know, we do some training with managers really just to give them those skills and the confidence.
Yeah.
With it as well.
Well, they do, because people go and start disciplining, and you're like, have you actually spoken to them about the issue? No. Did it not cross your mind to ask them why they did that before jumping into a disciplinary sort of scenario? But as you say, it's because people are frightened to have those conversations because they don't have the skills.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. Excellent.
Yeah. Pam, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker.
You.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Could you give us a shout for your website?
It's www.lockassociates.co.uk.
That's Lock, L-O-C-H.
And it's also www.hradvise.me.
Cool. So we will put links. There's already a link to Lock Associates on the Business Bunker website. We'll put a link to the Advise Me website too. For the moment, thank you so much for joining us. We've only got a few minutes left of the show, so do stay with us for the last few minutes. It'd be a pleasure to have you here. But Pam Locke of Locke Associates, HR lawyer, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
That's business, and I'll be coming to you very shortly with my 2P requirements. I have quite a few opportunities for you, actually, at the moment. So we'll be coming to you with those.
Collecting businesses like other people collect, I don't know, stamps or something.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit sad at the moment. It is a bit sad. I've got another little project on the go. I'm a director of it, and I'm taking it over, but I don't actually own it per se, and that's going to be interesting because there's about 50 staff to transfer, and they're all a bit feisty, so we need to do this properly and make sure we get it right.
That's why you have to do your Christmas shopping online, isn't it? Because you're too busy out buying businesses in real life.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't buy them online, so you're doing those in real life and doing the rest online.
Or starting radio stations or whatever. Yeah,
exactly.
I know. Ridiculous. We're fast running out of time, though. I've got a gazillion emails.
So
you've got
I.
emails, and I've got loads of tweets.
Let me gallop through a few, shall I?
Yeah, I'm going to do a couple of tweets first, if I may, because they're relevant to where we were talking about before. Billy Dean has been back on, angling for the part of Adam.
Apparently, I have met him. Sorry, Billy Dean.
Have you not?
He says on his tweet that I have met.
Yeah,
him.
You have met Billy.
Don't know where, though. Did he come here? No.
He has been here, but I don't think with you, no. But he said he's emailed details about the youth group production of Find Me This Friday. Let me do that again. He's emailed details about the youth group production. Or you can find him this Friday and Saturday, £5 a ticket, at Playhouse Wit. That's a Twitter handle, Playhouse Wit, in Whitstable. So that's the Whitstable Playhouse. So
I think the production is called Find Me.
Oh, is it?
I don't think it's a typo.
Okay. There was no because it's Twitter, you don't have punctuation in it, so it makes it a bit difficult to know what they're saying. Yeah. So I'll do that again. It's the youth group production of Find Me, and it's on this Friday and Saturday, and it's £5 a ticket, and it's at the Whitstable Playhouse. I got there eventually.
Yes.
Cool. And Rehab in Whitstable, the lovely Ruth, Terri-Ann and Becky, who are in possession of my chest hair.
Have they still got it?
Yeah, they've got a little shrine.
How is it, by the way? Don't show us.
I'm not showing you, no.
It's, not after he ripped his shirt off in the middle of the business show the other week.
It's growing back.
Is it? Thankfully. It's
electric. Yeah. I look like an oven-ready turkey. I ought to explain this.
I was about to say, especially for these people in the studio as well. They're not sure what's going on.
I foolishly agreed to have my chest and back waxed in the shop window of a shop in Whitstable High Street in aid of breast cancer. And it was absolutely comical. Every woman that walked past fell about laughing, and every bloke winced.
They offered him a more comprehensive service, shall we say, but apparently yeah. turned it down.
I certainly did.
Jill's face.
Yeah. They said, well, we've got rid of all the your chest and the hair and your back. Shall we keep going? No, you will not. Thank you. Anyway,
yes.
The guys over at rehab, they have got rooms to rent on a part-time or full-time basis.
Is that linked into the story earlier? Oh, no.
Don't even go
different
there.
Different sort of rooms. Yeah.
That's why I left it. I that came in ages ago, and I thought I'm going to leave that because that's going to be totally misconstrued. They have rooms to rent for anybody with health and beauty businesses
right.
they want to run.
Ah,
so,
okay.
And you can find out about it by emailing them at info@rehabhairbeautybody.com. That's info@rehabhairbeautyandbody.com. You can go... that's strange. Jesters are listening to Channel Radio with Vanilla Webb and Joe Dobbs.
Jill's just seen a picture of Billy Dean, sorry.
Oh,
she's quite impressed.
No, she's gone.
I think you've got the part.
No, Jill, come back. Come back. Jill, we haven't finished. Come back.
Yeah, you've got the part. What do you reckon, Jill?
Yeah. Definitely. Email me.
It's got nothing to do with the part, Billy. Just email her.
Oh, brilliant. Sorry, we got distracted then.
Not for the first time today either.
I know.
Yeah.
Right.
Shall I go?
Right. Catering for Kent with a number4.co.uk. They're offering a seafood platter valid from the 5th of January to the end of March. Friday, Saturday and Sunday only. Whole lobster tail, salad, ciabatta bread and oysters or prawns plus a bottle of house wine. £25 per couple. What a bargain. Mm. And where is that? It doesn't say. I know it's catering for Kent, but where are they?
That'll be at the Abbey restaurant, I guess, in Faversham.
There we go. So, cateringforkent.co.uk with the number4. Another one?
Yeah, go on.
Chris Hollins returns to Leeds Castle in 2013. Our heritage events. This is probably from Penny, isn't it?
It is indeed.
I'm pleased to announce that Chris Hollins is returning as narrator for next year's open air classical concert, which takes place at Leeds Castle on Saturday the 13th of July. From the US Masters Golf to the World Cup to Royal Ascot, Wimbledon and more recently the Olympics, Chris Hollins is recognised as one of television's most popular sports presenters. So he's going to be at the concert. The Best of British Spectacular Classical Concert features the world famous Royal Philharmonic Orchestra conducted by John Rigby with star soloists, a military band and a firework finale. So to book your ticket, and they did have special deals up till Christmas, so I suspect it's probably a better price. So I'd go there now if I were you to heritageevents.co.uk.
Cool. Do you know what we're going to do now? We're going to have a bit of last minute tunage.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, we're going to have a bit of last minute
so
tunage.
We're having so much fun.
I know, and then when we come back, we'll be finishing off with a few emails and
cool.
tweets. So have a listen to a bit of Harry.
No, I can't forget this evening or your face as you were leaving, but I guess that's just the way the story goes. You always smile, but in your eyes your sorrow shows. Yes, it shows. No, I can't forget tomorrow when I think of all my sorrow. Well, I had you there, but then I let you go. And now it's only fair that I should let you know what you should know. If living is without you, I can't live. I can't give any. Can't live if living. guess that's just the way the story goes. You always smile, but in your eyes your sorrow shows. Yes, it shows.
The Business Bunker.
Hey, welcome back. Bit of Harry Nilsson there. Can't live if living is
without
you.
On Jules' behalf.
Yeah.
Sounds very romantic.
Yeah.
Although she's still following Billy Dean and all that sort of thing on Twitter.
I know, it's all gone off.
She'll be in touch, definitely. Yeah.
The Christmas spirit's arrived early in this studio, let me tell you. Can you
do it? That's my last one for Christmas, isn't it?
No, we got two more, yeah?
No, my last one.
Oh, it's your last one, yeah. No, that's right.
I don't make your party, do I?
Yeah.
I've got Free Networking Hub in Folkestone, Wednesday the 12th. That's the week tomorrow, 12 till 2. Base Point Folkestone is delighted to invite chamber members and local businesses to a free lunch and networking event at the Folkestone Enterprise Centre on Shearway Business Park. And the guest speakers will be Anne-Marie Lydiard from Fusion Futures and Veronica Fox from HR Plus Limited. To avoid disappointment, please pre-book by emailing folkestone@basepoint.co.uk or call 01303 298 298.
Cool, thank you for that. I have, hi Paul, can you give a shout out on the Business Bunker for my New Year workshop? Make 2013 your best year yet. Who says that the number 13 is lucky? Unlucky, I don't. Also, if anyone is willing to have some of my leaflets in their shops, please get in touch with me and I can offer discounts for their customers who may attend or anyone who mentions the Business Bunker Show. Contact details are email angela@anotherjourneybegins.com or ring 0797 1653976. That's 0797 1653976. Details of the event are also on my website, which is www.anotherjourneybegins.com. It is a similar workshop to those I ran earlier in the year in January and April, which I talked briefly about when on your lovely show back in April. Okay, right. So Angela was on the show back in April and she talked about her workshops there. It incorporates mindfulness, future life progression and many other tools from my toolkit to help individuals reignite their motivation after the new year. So that's anotherjourneybegins.com if you want to find out more about that. Cool.
Excellent. I've got a cross-border networking and cultural visit Thursday the 13th of December. So that's a week on Thursday, 11:30 till 2:30 at the Beanie, 18 High Street, Canterbury. Opportunity for Kent businesses to specialise in ICT, finance, marketing, creative industries, tourism, environment and food services to meet and engage with French businesses who've requested to meet representatives from these business sectors for a networking lunch and an interactive tour of the Beanie. What's the Beanie? Do you know, John?
Yes, it's the Beanie's a place. It's a museum in Canterbury High Street, opposite the Abode Hotel, and it's just.
Oh, I know
been,
where that is. Ah, yes.
Yeah, it's just been refurbished. It's been totally refurbished.
Soldiery things up the steps or something.
That's it. Yeah.
The place, huh?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. It's a gorgeous building, and it's been there a long time. And Canterbury City Council or whoever has just refurbished it, and it's recently reopened.
Oh, that sounds quite exciting. I was talking to somebody yesterday about how social media in Europe is a big thing at the moment. Maybe I should go.
They've caught up, have they, at last?
Bonjour.
Ça va?
I've been doing some French lessons on my iPod, iPhone even.
I'm glad you finished that sentence.
I know, I started it and then thought I didn't want to finish it and then I had to because it would have sounded even worse.
Yeah.
But anyway, Should I just do another one?
No, I want to do this because I missed a bit out on Angela's email.
Okay.
Of telling you when it actually was.
Oh, go on then.
Yeah, so Angela's workshops for Another Journey Begins are on Saturday, January the 26th, and they run from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m, and lunch is provided.
Ah, well, can I do this one?
Yeah.
Do you work in a stressy office?
Yeah, I
bet you do, Paul. I bet you cause it, don't you?
I work in a stressy studio.
Oh, you're so unkind. I'm branching out into the business world. This is Daisy, and she's utilising everything she's learnt from having been signed off with stress for nearly 7 years.
Blimey.
And the 5 years that she's been working on herself with fantastic results, as well as her professional skills as an energist and massage therapist. So, Stress Solutions UK is offering a free one-off unique opportunity to one lucky company. 8 weeks of 2 days service in exchange for the experience, feedback and information that she requires to market her services better. Stress Solutions UK specialises in providing welfare in the workplace to organisations in Kent, Sussex and Surrey. Our mission is to empower employees of all levels to help themselves in fun and creative ways by teaching them simple techniques that work wonders and by addressing individual issues on a one-to-one, face-to-face basis. So for more information about the offer, visit stresssolutionsuk.co.uk/freebie.html or contact Daisy on 01303-210068.
Cool. Good stuff. I've got an email here from Alan Noak, the online shopping guru, about iShop Kent, their e-commerce portal.
Mm-hmm.
To encourage Kent online retailers to get themselves promoted on the site, we're offering a full standard entry free of charge. Optionally, it is £2 plus VAT a month to be a featured shop, and only £1 plus VAT a month per featured product. Can't say better than that, can you?
No.
You can find out more at www.ishopkent.co.uk. That's ishopkent.co.uk. And that's from Alan Noak, the online shopping guru. Thank you,
excellent.
Alan.
I've got an award for local care home worker. A local care home worker has been honoured at a glittering award ceremony. Alan O'Neill from Abbey Wood received the Care Worker of the Year Award at the Great Southeast Care Awards Gala Dinner at the Metropole Hotel in Brighton on Friday, November the 30th. Alan, who's a team leader at the Riverdale Court Residential Home in Welling, beat a strong field of nominees, demonstrating to the judging panel his dedication, high standards and awareness of the needs of those in residential care. Riverdale Court is a residential home specialising in dementia care and is run by Avanti Care and Support, part of the leading care home group Avanti Partnership.
Cool. Well, while we're on awards, I've got a couple of awards here.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a Kent call centre has rung bells in the United States.
Wow.
By being dubbed the third best call centre on the planet.
On the planet? That's on a cool planet. Award, isn't it?
How cool is that? That is a really cool award.
It's better than in the world, and it means much the same.
So Go Response, based at Kent Science Park at Sittingbourne, represented the UK at the grand finals at the Contact Centre World Awards in Las Vegas. Party time, guys.
Good.
Party time. Yeah. The accolade capped a successful 2012 for the telephone answering service provider, which had already picked up 3 awards earlier in the year, including Best Small Contact Centre. The awards were judged by 150 industry experts after a presentation by the chief executive, Mark Kirby, who also won the bronze medal for his leadership skills. Go Response was set up 9 years ago with just 4 people and now employs more than 100 people at Sittingbourne. Speaking at the Treasure Island Hotel on the Las Vegas trip, Mr. Kirby said, winning these awards tops off what has been an incredible year for us, and I'm extremely proud both of the hard work that has been put in by the team to get us this far and of the results we're seeing from it. We're not just going to rest on our laurels, though. We're going to keep pushing ourselves until we're the best in the world. James Speck, Kent Science Park site director, praised the achievements. The fact that we've now been named the third best call centre in the world is a huge achievement on which they should be extremely proud. So Go Response, third best call centre on the planet. Much respect. Well done.
Exactly. And I've just got one here. Cooper Burnett has recently completed the buyout of a 50% interest in the holding company of Lamberhurst-based Berwick de Voyle Healthcare Limited, an independent healthcare consultancy and insurance broker. Guy and Caroline Jones now own 100% of Berwick de Voyle Healthcare. At the same time as the buyout, they undertook a significant corporate restructuring exercise, the finance for which was provided by Barclays Bank. Berwick de Voyle is a new client for Cooper Burnett, and Victoria Ansell, who led the deal for the firm, already knew the couple and caught up with them at an opportune moment. So they say that they're very grateful to Victoria for leading us through the buyout process and restructuring, providing us with both legal and practical support when we needed it. It was a complex exercise, but we always felt confident with Cooper Burnett working alongside us. And that's Cooper Burnett www.cancerredistrictwatch.com.
Cool. Another award. Cancer District Watch has gained a top industry award for its work in combating business crime and antisocial behaviour. The Safer Business Award with Distinction, which is the highest level, was awarded by the Association of Business Crime Partnerships, the approved national body that oversees and monitors the performance of business crime reduction partnerships, or watch schemes, across the UK. Canterbury District Watch Coordinator Peter Gammon, MBE, says watch schemes have to undergo a rigorous inspection by the ABCP every 2 years in order to maintain their national accreditation. The inspection looks at all aspects of our work and the services provided to members, the impact we have on reducing business crime and antisocial behaviour, and the relationship between the watch partners. So what fantastic award for Canterbury District Watch, helping to reduce business crime and antisocial behaviour.
Brilliant. Can I just do a quick shout out? Because I know you're about to finish.
Very quickly.
John Kipling's just put a message on Facebook saying he's looking forward to finally meeting me. And QJ said, she's famous, you know. And he said, I hear she's on the radio. Well, John, I'm on the radio right this minute. And I've just given you and QJ a shout out.
Yeah, not for very long, though, because we've reached the end of the programme. We will be here on December the 8th, this Saturday, at the Haglands Village Fair. Do come down and see that. 12 till 6 o'clock. We'll be here. There's loads
going on. Little Dodsy will be here.
Little Dodsy will be here. Big Dodsy will be here. Simon Dodsy will be here. But there will be other people and alpacas. Do come along. But it's been an absolute pleasure for you to join us on the Business Monkey Show today. And our guest, Jill Topping.
Tipping.
I'm so sorry. Jill Tipping. JillTipping.co.uk. Author. I'm rushing through it now because she took my last 2 minutes. And Pam Locke of Pam Locke Associates and HR Advise Me. So that's Jill Tipping and Pam Locke. Thank you very much for joining us on the Business Bunker. We'll be back next week.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk.